The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who've gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military, and I am on a mission to educate veterans in the job search marketing process. Sit back and enjoy the military transition hot washes and after action reports of your fellow veterans. You may just learn some lessons that smooth your own transition path.
Hey, have you heard of Boots to Books? We're a nonprofit that is here to help veterans, transitioning military, reservists, and their families get the best possible education and employment. We do it completely for free. Boots to Books is proud to sponsor this episode. And if you want to learn more or get assistance, reach out to our team at boots2books.com. Now back to the episode.
And I think it's important not to look at it as a social media thing. It's not a post about what you had for breakfast kind of thing. I think for those that don't want to live on the platform and don't want to be on there a lot, be really genuine and deliberate about what you're doing. So if you're in a particular role, network with others that are going to be a space or a position above you, and just network with those and learn and gather that information. Stay connected to your competitors. Understand what's being out there. Stay connected to the news that's coming in there. You're doing these things anyway.
On today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, I am welcoming Jeremy Montgomery. You probably know him as Monty, but after serving active duty Air Force for 10 years, my guest, Monty, went into the Air National Guard for an additional 12 years. When he retired in 2020, right in the midst of COVID, he took charge of his transition and quickly landed a job with Fusion Cell as their business development manager and was recently promoted to a director level. He is a very visible presence on LinkedIn and a fierce advocate for the veteran, transitioning military, and spouse community. I am certain you've seen his great videos and his glorious beard sharing resources with the community. Monty brings an amazing message of avoiding the mistake of going it alone in your military transition and advocates for the importance of LinkedIn. He really gets fired up toward the end of the show, and I know that he will teach you some great lessons today. Well, Monty, it has been a long time coming. I am so glad that you're here on the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I love what it stands for, what it represents, and who it's helping.
Well, you do the same thing on your end, so we're here to do that together. So I want to talk transition. We always start off with transition. I want to hear your story. I know when we talked before, you know, I know you went from active duty to reserve, but you kind of transitioned on your own. You did it alone. And I want to talk about how that process went for you.
When I made my decision to transition from service, it was kind of an overnight thing. I woke up one morning and I did not want to put my uniform on. And it was the first time in 23 years I'd ever felt that way. And so for me, it was a whirlwind. I made the decision and 6 months later, I was out. I knew I was capable and I relied a lot on my own wit to try to make this transition go smoothly. And I promise you, that is not the way to go. I didn't tap into resources, and I probably wasn't even really that aware of it, of all the things that are out there, folks like you that are out there to help us kind of communicate what we're capable of doing, and all the other programs that now are part of my partner ecosystem that I refer to all the time. When you go at it alone, you make mistakes. When you go at it alone, you make the same mistakes that somebody else made. And it just doesn't make sense to do it that way. I was fortunate enough that some of the first companies that I got engaged with, one of them was FusionCell, and it's been my home ever since. But there was a significant amount of interviews and things like that. Had I just looked outside of my own brain a little bit and I gathered in some of my transition tribe, as I call it now, I think I would have done a lot better. I'm hoping I would have ended up in the same place. But geez, I went through a lot of stressful situations. And I'm talking about the whole gamut, Lori, from not knowing that my first paycheck or my last paycheck was going to be held, not knowing that my retirement pay would take a while, not understanding the disability path at all, and just trying to navigate the health benefits and where my family goes to the doctor now versus where they went before. It was really significant. And I did it on my own. And what a bad way to do it.
Did you do it on your own because you thought you were capable, or did you do it on your own because you didn't know the resources were there? Like, what was the motivation for doing it that way?
I think it was twofold. One, I didn't want to be influenced by anybody. And I wanted to do my own thing because I thought I could. But the other aspect of it was, I think there was a significant portion of things I wasn't aware of that was out there. I did go through the transition assistance program. There were some portions that I pulled out of that I just thought were wonderful, SkillBridge being one of them. But all of the other stuff, the survivor's benefits, the health insurance, the life insurances, all those were just really brushed over just with a little checked box that they were discussed. So why did I go about it that way? I think you don't know what you don't know. And so how do you overcome that? Well, you network. Right? You start exposing yourself to that environment, and then you start to learn what you don't know very quickly, and you start getting referred to those folks that can help you in those areas. So I think it was partially deliberate, maybe a little bit of egotistical, like, I got this, I'm going to be fine. But now, Lori, I've talked to hundreds of veterans and transitioning service members and military spouses and vet spouses. And I know that mindset is still there, that people are not seeking out enough help to make this easier.
And I think that there are lots of reasons, right? But you talked about ego. And I think that's something that I've heard again and again, is sometimes that ego has to be set aside in this process. And you have to be willing to, whether it's setting aside your ego to ask for help, setting aside your ego to maybe take a step back so that you can spring your career forward, whatever it might be. But just know that there may come a time when that ego has to get set aside, right?
It gets checked no matter what. Whether you decide to check it or not, it gets checked. I say this probably too much, but last year from January to November, I dedicated 10 to 12 hours every single week, one-on-one, just like this, with veterans, transition service members, military spouses. I heard the same story over and over and over again. This one component of, I thought I would be fine. I've got all of this experience. And it does get sort of drove into our head from the very beginning when we're recruited, that if you become a veteran, you're going to have all these opportunities. Well, while I think that's true, they don't get navigated by themselves.
No, you're right. I think that the going it alone is probably one of the most important, or not going it alone, I guess I should say, is one of the most important messages that I want people to hear from this, and that you don't have to. And I think not everybody is a networker. They're not an extrovert that's going to go out and meet a lot of people. But I still think you can be an introvert. You can have a small circle and still not do it alone. Would you agree with that?
Wholeheartedly. In fact, I think there's an introvert nature with an extrovert shell with me. I will say this, if you are in a category where you're not going to be bold and reach out to a bunch of different people, but if you reach out to a small group of effective people that care about you or that are in an industry that you care about, that small population of people are probably going to have more power than a gigantic one. So I really think if you're deliberate, consistent, and genuine with your networking, you don't have to go and get really uncomfortable. You can really do really well with a very small circle.
You don't need a 10,000 person circle. You can have a smaller circle. And I'm the same way. I am an introvert inside, but I come across as an extrovert and have no problem with public speaking, getting up in front of groups. It's the one-on-one that for me is more stressful than the public speaking, funny enough, maybe because I've taught for so long. But I think that you are going to have to step out of your comfort zone. You are going to have to get uncomfortable. And that might just be with the initial ask of building that network, but be willing to set aside the ego, right?
If you're making those initial asks of people that are in the lane that you want to be in, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about later about exploring what do I want to do when I grow up. But the main piece is that you have to do it. Like, this is not something you can avoid. To have a successful transition, you got to develop a tribe, big or small.
So doesn't matter how big it is, but get one so that you don't have to do this alone. And you can learn from other people's mistakes so you don't have to make them and repeat them. You and I, when we talked, you told me about your theory on like seasons of military transition. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, Jen and I from Herc Rentals and I just posted a video about LinkedIn seasons. We lightly introduced this topic. And I think my sphere and my circle and my people, we're going to start talking about this a lot more. LinkedIn has seasons. If you're transitioning out of service and you haven't been active on LinkedIn, or maybe LinkedIn is being introduced to you through your transition, that's a season. This is where you're beginning to build your network. You're starting to see people that are in industries that you may want to be in, and you're starting to build conversations and relationships in this area. And that sort of is like your inaugural season. That's where you're trying to figure out LinkedIn. You're trying to network. You're trying to secure meaningful employment. That's a season. And then I think beyond that season, then it becomes, okay, I got the job. Now what? Well, some people just fall off completely. They just stop using LinkedIn. And I'll tell you right now, we're seeing notifications of folks that are part of hundreds of people layoffs. And if they would have stayed active in this next season, not considerably, I'm not telling you to live on the platform, nobody wants to. But what I am saying is stay active and relevant within your network. So this next season can be you sort of developing your network in that job. So if you got job X at company Y, you want to be as much as you can to company Y. So you're going to network with other positions that have that and expose yourself to new information that can make your job better. And so you're transitioning into that next season through that phase by becoming a subject matter expert, either in that industry or whatever little niche you craft out for yourself. And again, I'm mindful of the introvert mindset a little bit too. Like you don't want to do a whole lot of that because honestly it's draining. But you have to expose yourself at least a little bit to stay relevant, to stay current, to make sure that you're doing as much as you can for the company that you work for. And then there becomes that season where you are the subject matter expert. And now you're reaching down and you're pulling the next person up. You're sharing that knowledge. You're exposing yourself to the opportunity to mentor others. So those are just three examples, sort of that inaugural introduction to LinkedIn, I got the job, the honeymoon phase, and you're starting to learn what you can do more in it. Then you really become somebody that is prominent in that space, and you can reach down the mountain and help others come up and climb the mountain. So there's many more seasons than that, I'm sure, but that's just kind of the general concept I was sharing with you before.
And what I think I want to talk about from that is that person that lands the job and then just disappears. And like you said, I you don't want to live on there because you're getting used to your new environment. You're, acclimating and learning a lot of new things. You don't have a ton of free time, but just, 5-10 minutes a day just to maintain those relationships, to reach out to people, to engage still with the network that you built. So you took so much time to build during your transition before you landed that job. It will really help you down the road and just to stay visible, right?
And I think it's important not to look at it as a social media thing. It's not a post about what you had for breakfast kind of thing. I think for those that don't want to live on the platform and don't want to be on there a lot, be really genuine and deliberate about what you're doing. So if you're in a particular role, network with others that are going to be a space or a position above you, and just network with those and learn and gather that information. Stay connected to your competitors. Understand what's being out there. Stay connected to the news that's coming in there. You're doing these things anyway. Why not have a dual purpose? Why not let LinkedIn feed you the information you want to see anyway? Information from people you want to hear from anyhow. And you can do it in such a really insignificant time commitment way to stay relevant.
And, you know, I think that you just never know what will happen, positive or negative. And having your network ready to put into action at any time is always a good idea. And I think, you know, you see a lot like, oh, I haven't posted in 6 months, but I'm here to tell you I just got laid off. And, you know, and it's like, oh, you need us again.
So know what season you're in. Know what season you're in and figure out how you want to operate within that. Set really tiny goals. Little things add up. Jumping on the platform even once a week is better than letting it go completely cold. So that's what we meant by LinkedIn seasons. And we're developing that idea a little bit more. I think it's different for everybody.
Don't be an overthinker like me. So for me, I'm like, oh, what should I post? I need to think about this and plan it out. And, you know, then I maybe only do it once or twice a week. I'm on there all the time, interacting and engaging. Like, I just get out there and talk about kind of what's happening in your world, right? I think that don't overthink how to engage. Just get out there and do it and be who you are, right?
Absolutely. And don't be like me either, because I am very, I don't overthink things. And perhaps sometimes I'll throw something out that maybe I wouldn't have had I thought about it a little bit. But I'll tell you this, it's super important to, I say it all the time, be genuine, be deliberate, be consistent. If you can do those three things in your particular lane, you're never going to be exposing yourself to an overtime commitment on this platform. This thing is a professional networking giant. It's one of a kind. You need to utilize that as a tool in your professional life.
Absolutely. And so to that end, you and I talked about kind of like finding your own style, your own personalized style of networking, because it's different for every person, right? So how you use the platform can be different. How you network and engage can be different. Like, tell me about how you would recommend people find their own style of networking.
Start, first of all, just go. Really, just jump into the water, because you're not going to get used to the temperature slowly. Just jump in. And I looked at some of my old videos that I had posted way back when I first started. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I would never do it like that ever again. I don't think you find your niche. I don't think you find your market. I don't think you find your voice or your style without going and trying. It just, for most people, I don't think it just develops on the first go round. You just got to go and see what sticks, what works. You can't care about how many views or likes or pokes or whatever the hell they call it nowadays. You just have to be genuine, and you need to be consistent and ask yourself, why am I posting this? Am I posting it just to post it? Well, then don't post it, right? Have something that means something to you and post that. That will have such a bigger impact. Some of the biggest posts I have are personal ones that probably don't belong on that platform. You and I were talking about my vow renewal ceremony. You know, that thing went crazy and it was a personal thing, right? Just be your genuine self, be consistent. And the last thing is be deliberate. What do I mean by be deliberate? Have a message. Whatever is on your mind, share it and develop your own style, whether it's through writing and bullet formats or paragraph or video or memes or whatever it is that you want to do. Do what feels great to you and don't worry about what it looks like on the other end yet. Let your style be developed by practice.
I really like that. I think that, like you said, everybody is going to be a little different with how they communicate, and don't feel like you have to fit a mold of some
Never.
Sort.
In fact, and I think that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. I have to do it like this because Monty does cool videos with fire, and, you know, I think that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You can do it however you want. And I know there are, you know, influencers out there that say you have to do this many posts a week, or you need to post every single day. And I, again, that may not work for you. and you've got to find who you are. Sometimes I'll read something and I'm like, oh, I'm just not that clever. So that's okay.
Well, I think that the organic thought is going to resonate with certain people. So there are other people that think and feel and write and see and interpret color the same way that you do. And they're the ones that are going to really appreciate the content. And isn't that the point anyway, whether it's 20,000 views or 10? I think the point is that it resonates and that you share something of you out there and whatever style that is. But I'll tell you this, I talk with a lot of people that will call and say, you know, why are you doing this? How do you do this? Or that sort of thing. And it's really, really simple. I always go back to just start, just do something. No matter what personality category you're in, if you're asking this question, you already have an interest in the answer. And the answer is just start, just go, just put something out there, see what works, what feels good. Your voice will develop. And I truly believe that my path so far, while I'm just this tiny little blurb on this stuff, it's had seasons too. It's developed. And I've found my voice now. And my voice is really, really simple. Absolutely anything that I can do to create abstract thought in favor of our military or spouse community, that's the lane that I want to be in. And so I will support, I will make noise, I will bitch, gripe, and complain about anything that is in that wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Everybody has that one or two things that they're excited about or passionate about. Right about that.
I know somebody that built a voice around nuclear engineering. You know, I mean, that's what his lane is. That's great. Run with it. And so will it appeal to everyone that reads, you know, your information? No, but the right people that you want to see it are going to see it.
When you find your joy, that's what you write about. And don't give a damn about views or anybody else's point of view. Just do you, because everybody else is taken.
Yep. Okay. I like it. I like that a lot. Okay. So you're very visible, very active on LinkedIn. Like I said, everybody that probably knows your name. If they don't know your name, they know your beard, as I said earlier, right? So they know your videos, you do those a lot. So kind of when did you start getting active on LinkedIn and in this process? And really, like, what has that done for your career? How important has your activity on LinkedIn been for you?
Well, I'll give some vanity metrics is kind of the definition, I think, of how many people follow you or you're connected with, right? It's a vanity metric. It doesn't really mean a whole lot unless you use it. When I got hired at FusionCell in 2020 at some point, I think it was August, I had about 5,000 people that I had connected to, because I had started deliberately building a network prior to getting out of the military. Very unfocused network. I mean, these people probably don't even know who I am, some of the ones that I connected with way back then. It was not deliberate or consistent by any means. So I just started building a random network. However, when I got a voice with FusionCell, when I found a purpose, not a job, I literally found a purpose, that changed things. I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about things that might make things easier for other people. And so my first few videos that I started doing, I just chose video content, quite honestly, because my colleague Radek Krzyzewski here at FusionCell, he's like, I think video is a great platform for us and we need to use it. And I'm like, fine. So I started recording just horrible videos and putting them out there. And I just sort of kind of found that I would rather do that than lace my post with all the typos that I create. So I'm getting away from your question a little bit. I think what really drove me in that piece is I found something I could talk about that I cared about. And it made it really, really easy. When you talk about something that you love and care about, whether it's through written or spoken or video, I hope it comes across. So when I'm throwing all these videos out there, I hope people see the fire in my eyes and the pulse in my chest, because I give a damn about what I'm talking about.
I think that comes through, you know, like we don't see the fire in your eyes. We see the fire in your videos. So that's like the important thing, right? So, but you know, I think that everybody, I think you've become a very well-known presence on LinkedIn. Was LinkedIn part of you landing the role that you did? Like, how did that come about?
I think if I go right back to how it actually happened, like the little trigger points and you connect all the dots, if it wouldn't have been for LinkedIn, I don't think this would have happened, because Radek and I were connected on LinkedIn, but we hadn't spoken in quite a while. And I don't know that we would have.
Right.
You know, if it wouldn't have been for LinkedIn, he found out that I was making myself available, and that spun up some conversations. Without LinkedIn, I don't know that I would be here. You know, you asked me, how do I use my network now? Look at our Mill Spouse Mondays. Look at some of the things that we're doing to try to create noise and obviously make some money too. We're a for-profit business. There's so many reasons to use this network now. You know, now there's 15 or 20,000 people that are directly connected to me. And now I get to go back and say, hey, I know about this nonprofit. They're doing this fundraiser. If you feel so inclined, get involved. Or I know Lori Norris. She's got an incredible business that can help us communicate what kind of skills we have and make us more marketable. I know about these companies that are hiring, whether they positively impact us or not. So it's given me a space that now I can use this platform to do a lot of cool stuff that I think is good. I don't have any other social media. I'm not on Facebook or the other ones, whatever the hell they are, because it doesn't speak to me and I don't want to spend any time on them. This makes sense to me.
I'm with you. I have Instagram just so I can stalk my children. And I, you know, have Facebook just because I've had it for 15 years and I've got family on there. But this is, you know, LinkedIn is where I spend my time. You know, I think you've got to figure out what works best for you. And for the job search process, it's most likely going to be LinkedIn, because this is where business happens. And so as you're transitioning and building that network and trying to find connections, I think LinkedIn just makes the most sense. And it's a great place to continue to maintain that network and maintain connection with people. You know, I mean, I haven't had like a boss in a long time. We'll just stick with a long time. And so, but I still stay connected with the last boss that I had on LinkedIn, check in every once in a while. I might need a reference someday. And that's just another thing you can do, is to stay connected with former coworkers, former supervisors, so that you maintain those connections to be able to reach out and go, hey, can you vouch for me on this? So
I'll give you an example, Lori. When I made that announcement about FusionCell, you know, giving me a different title, there's a gal in there that I referenced. Her name is Kate Clark. And she was one of my first bosses when I had left active duty military. And I update her every single time. And it's not because I want to stay connected to her or get any kind of referral or have a reference. It's I want to extend that gratitude. She knows because of private messages that when I do that, I'm literally saying, thank you. I'm not here without you, because there was elements of that leadership and previous experience with those bosses or mentors or even people that worked for you that shape you and change you. So it's sometimes it's not about what I can get out of. It's about saying thanks too.
Yeah. And I think that's important. Everyone likes to have that gratitude and, you know, just the thank you from the recognition, if you will. So I think that's a great way of using it as well. So you've alluded to FusionCell. We talked a little bit about it, but let's talk about the organization. So you are now the director of business development for FusionCell. Tell me about the organization. What do you do to support transitioning service members, veterans, and military spouses? And just give us a little overview of the company.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories to tell is our story. I think it starts with our logo and our name. You know, Chief Tony Negron, who was the senior enlisted guy in the Pararescue Foundation, the Pararescue Organization for Air Force. He was obviously part of the post 9/11 environment and some of the activities that special warfare folks go into. FusionCell were created. General Stanley McChrystal brought this concept to life for special operators out there. And what FusionCell are is it's an organization. It's a cell of people that can make really quick flatline decisions that massively impact the mission. An example would be our operators are on the ground. They have to run all this information up the flagpole. They're telling everybody at the top of the flagpole that they have actionable intelligence. Then you've got to wait for the CIA to comment on it, the host country to comment it, of course, DC and NATO and all these folks to make their input. By the time that happens, the intelligence that was actionable, the thing that we could do to make a difference, is no longer an opportunistic thing. It's gone. And so FusionCell were created to get rid of that. They put all the key players into one spot. Actionable intelligence would come in. We'd make the decision together and off we'd go. And FusionCell born in that moment. Chief Tony Negron said that someday I'm going to name a company about like that. And we're going to operate in that way. So what Fusion Cell is in the very beginning started out as a nonprofit concept to help special operators find meaningful employment so that we wouldn't have to send them back overseas to take contracts and catch bullets and do certain things that really they were less equipped, ill-supported, and still in harm's way. We can do better than that. And so Fusion Cell grew out of that concept. We came into a for-profit environment because we knew how much we could do and how much of an impact we could have for this entire community. So it was just one simple question was asked. Okay, we can do this for special operators, and we are. Why don't we go for everybody in this community? Fusion Cell was born again, and it launched out of that. We have a single investor that supports not just the business model of this. He supports the heart of what it is that we're about. And so the heart of what we are is we truly want to create meaningful employment opportunities for veteran spouses, military spouses, transitioning service members, and veterans. And I think all of them are in a different category all by themselves. So we don't want them to go through the same process that they could on their own. We want to be able to grab somebody that says, Fusion Cell, will you help us? I want to put them right in front of Lori Norris, the hiring manager that makes the decisions, and get them going on that path. These are companies that Fusion Cell vets. Because of our financial situation, because of the way that we're structured, we don't have to just take any old job. We don't have to take anybody that's willing to pay us a fee to go find somebody. That's not what we're doing. These are companies that we are vetting that understand what the veteran or the military spouse brings to the table. They have retention programs for them. They're going to give them a priority process through the line, if you will. And then they're going to take care of them once they're in the company. And, you know, culture has a big piece of that. So what Fusion Cell is doing is there's so much going on behind the scenes. You see us post a job announcement and then the job announcement goes away. That is the tiniest component of what we're doing. These veterans need help with a myriad of different things, and we are there as advocates for them. And I think it's really quick and easy to dismiss an agency like us based on the fact that we're for profit. I would challenge a lot of organizations to take a look at that and see what we are capable of doing now because we are for profit. You know, let's use one example. Fusion Cell is 3 times bigger than we were 18 months ago. Those are all veteran hires. So if that's all that we're doing, that's pretty awesome.
And I think that we'll put it in the show notes, but tell me how people can access information about the program, about the organization and the programs you have.
Yeah, the website's the easiest place to go to, but I think websites are just a conduit to get to a person. And so we have a very robust team of career agents out there. You can follow me and get connected to them very quickly. You can connect to them directly. But those folks are the magic of what makes Fusion Cell work. Our website will get you to any one of us. We're pretty quick about getting through that process and getting to us. LinkedIn is another great place. A lot of our activity and our voice is on LinkedIn for obvious reasons. And I don't even think we are on the other socials a whole lot. So it is LinkedIn and our website, which is a great place to begin. We also have some really super exciting announcements coming out. So here's just a teaser. I think in the November timeframe how important November is to our community, some really exciting announcements are going to come out with some free resources that we've developed with some great partners. That is going to be another way that you can reach out to us and be served through our advocacy.
Excellent. So you got to follow the company if you want to hear that news when it comes out in November. And your website, can you tell us that?
Super easy. Fusioncell.com.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for that, Monty. Okay. So I appreciate you giving us an overview of the company. I think there's probably a lot of people that don't really know what you do. And so definitely check out their website, connect with Monty, because you will not be sorry. He shares resources every single week. You mentioned it earlier. You do Mill Spouse Mondays. I know you're really passionate about supporting the military spouse and the families. And even, you know, the other day, you and I talked about it when you renewed your vows. It was really about recognizing your spouse and about the sacrifices that she made to support you during your service. So tell me about the programs that you have that focus on this community, about the Mill Spouse, the veteran spouse, the family members.
Well, the Mill Spouse Mondays thing was founded because I was the service member, not the spouse. And I was really kind of a jackass, Lori, for a long time. And that is what really drove this concept and this idea is how can I stop others from making those same mistakes that I made? How can we talk about this? What that led to was the massive underemployment numbers that I was exposed to that military spouses go through. The massive amount of bureaucracy and nonsense for a military spouse to go from one coast to the other, which happens all the time, yet they can't take their experience or their licensures or their certifications and apply that to the exact same role in the same country, just on a different coast. They would have to struggle through that. They would have to reinvent themselves to get meaningful employment all the time. Industry, companies, and corporations would see employment gaps, or maybe they wouldn't see gaps, but they would see all volunteer experience, and they weren't valuing it. So you really get me fired up now, Lori. This was something that I wasn't capable of not saying something about. So Sonia Vasquez with the Arizona Coalition of Military Families partnered up with me on this. She had the same sort of desire to make an impact. She is a military spouse. So we have this dynamic where you've got the boneheaded service member, me, and you've got the military spouse, Sonia, and we're trying to drive in a bunch of topics. And that was something else, Lori. We just tried. We didn't know where it would go. And now there's a lot of organizations that are connected to it that are actually looking forward to our next, whatever we want to voice at that time. The other piece too, Lori, is in the last month, I believe it's 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4 of the veterans or the military spouses that we presented ended up with employment within 2 weeks.
That's great.
Some of it directly related to the connections made through the video and some completely unrelated. But it's being part of this community that means a lot to me, because I could have been so much better while she was a military spouse. And now I'm awakened to all the ways I could have been better. And so now I hope I can make some folks talk about things they might not have otherwise talked about.
So we have a lot of active duty military service members that listen to the show. In a nutshell, what advice could you give them to not be a jackass like you said you were to your spouse? What, tell us some of the things that we could do different to make sure this community is better taken care of.
Your military service is a chapter, a small chapter in a really big book. Don't lose focus of everything that came before that and everything that will come after that. When it comes to your military spouse or your significant others or your children, you must prioritize them. You must protect your time with them. You must fight for them. You must push back against the military-industrial complex sometimes and choose them first and make them squirm a little too, because you can do that. There are moments in service where I had an opportunity to choose my family, to choose my spouse. And it's not that I did not choose them. It's that I let the service own that time and own that component. And I felt dedicated and I had to follow through with those missions. When in some of those cases, that mission would have gotten done, or I could have accomplished it without sacrificing certain things for them. So I would tell you this, really take a look at what you're dedicating yourself to. The military is a significant and a major component of your life. It was the largest component of my adult life to this date still. However, I would do it differently. I would prioritize my wife. I would protect my wife. I would protect my children. And what I mean by protect is that I would give them my time. They wouldn't get what was left over at the end of the day. The military would get as much as they could while I was in the moment, every aspect of me. But I call it threshold filtering. When I walked out of that threshold of my military uniform and I walked into my home, they should still have enough left of me that they get the best parts. So that is the aspect that I want to communicate out there. And lastly, is I want folks to know that if you're in service, understand how small and insignificant that period of service is going to be in the grand scheme of things. You'll likely spend 2 decades in service if you're a career military professional. There are a lot of other decades that will have nothing to do with this.
Those are wise words. And because I think the more you can embrace the excitement of those other decades of the finding the joy and the fun and doing something that you really love in those other decades, that I think it just will make you a happier person in general. Agree?
Completely.
I love a fired up Monty. I gotta be honest with you. So I really appreciate you sharing that information with us. So I want to invite all of you to head to our YouTube channel to listen to the bonus question that I'm going to do with Monty. We're going to record that bonus question. And he's got a really interesting way of talking to you about reverse engineering your own job description. But you're going to have to head to our YouTube channel to check that out. Monty, thank you so much for joining me on the show. It was really great to talk to you.
Before I close this out, Lori Norris is trying to grow this YouTube channel. It's not about whether you come see my question or everybody else's, which I've gone and seen some of these bonus questions. Help her grow this channel. It gives her a bigger voice, gives her an opportunity, helps support her business as well. So please go out there and listen to the nonsense that I'm going to spew on there too.
Well said. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help you in your military transition, then I've done my job. Our goal is to get in the ear of as many active duty service members as possible. So please don't keep this podcast a secret. Share it with as many of your active duty service member friends and transitioning veterans who may be struggling with that process as possible. Please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, and join us on our LinkedIn and Facebook communities to tell us what lesson you learned today.